Good morning, everybody. Let's get on our feet. It is time to worship the Lord. We're glad y'all are here this morning. Let's get some passion and some worship. Let's go. Going in here, y'all. We're gonna praise a little bit more. How many of y'all know that God has been really, really good to us. We're gonna sing it about it right here.
This is my story, I'll testify. With blessings on blessings poured on my life. And I start remembering how good you've been. Fear turns to worship, tears turn to praise. Chains of depression broken by grace. And I start remembering how good you've been.
Come on, you've been so, so good.
You've been so, 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 so good to me. 'Cause you've been so, 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 so good to me. The enemy's weapons fall to the ground. Armies of heaven always around. And I start remembering how you carried my cross. You call me by name and love me like I was, but you didn't leave me that way. Was dead, now I live. Yeah, that's what you did. 'Cause you've been so, 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 so good to me. So, 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 so good to me. Oh, from morning to night, the lows and the highs, I look back on my life and all that I see. You've been so, 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 so good to me.
Come on, the words explain this right here. Y'all sing this, you know it.
When I say God is good, you say all the time. When I say all the time, you say God is good. When I say God is good, you say all the time. When I say all the time, you say, come on. When I say God is good, you say all the time. When I say all the time, you say God is good. When I say God is good, you say all the time. When I say all the time, you say God is so, 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 so good to me.
Come on.
'Cause you've been so, 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 so good to me. From morning to night, the lows and the highs, back on my life and all that I see. From morning to night, the lows and the highs, I look back on my life and all that I see. But you've been so, 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 so good to me. Hey, you've been so, 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 so good to me.
Been good to you. Put your hands together and give the Lord some love. Thank you, Jay. You can be seated. Hey, good morning. Let's see how much you listened. God is good?
All the time?
All the time? Man, y'all sound better than that 9 o'clock service. I'm just saying. And you can tell them that I said that. So, man, welcome you guys. Glad you're here today. It's always good to come hang out with you guys on a Sunday morning. I tell you what we're going to do today. Today we're going to kick off a new series. It's our After Easter series. And be honest with you, like I love new series. And the title of this new series is going to be this, The Exceeding Life of Elisha. The Exceeding Life of Elisha. Since January the 1st, we've been talking about the exceeding plans that God has for each of you. The scripture says this, it's been our theme scripture for the year. Ephesians chapter 3, verse number 20 says, "Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think, according to the power that works within us. I think it's so important that you and I begin to understand God wants to do exceeding things in your life. We just sang this song, and we talked about looking back over our life. And as we look back over our life, God has continued to be good to us, and God has brought us out of situations that we never should have been able to get out of ourselves. How many of you has God been good to you today? But here's what you got to know. God's not done in your life. Yeah, two or three of you, I'm with you. I'm with you. Because God ain't done in my life. Because God's been good to Cody. Cody's been married and still married, praise the Lord, 28 years. And I got three kids, and I've been pastor of this church for 25 years. And God's been better to me than I've been to myself. And he's been better to me than I deserve. But I'm here to let you know by faith today, God is not done with me yet. And the things that God has done in my life are little bitty compared to the exceeding abundant above and beyond things that are in my future. And I want you to understand, God's good, and God still has plans for you, and God still wants to restore your marriage. Anybody understand what I'm saying? Here's the deal. God can do all that he says he will do. God can do all that he says he will do. He is very able. But I want you to see this. I want you to see that if we're going to live the exceeding life, you and I have a role to play in the exceeding coming to pass in our life. We have a role to play. We have a role to play. We have responsibility after God has sent his son to die on a cross and he's been resurrected from the dead. He's now our Savior and he's forgiven us. We now have a weight and a responsibility to honor him and to be obedient to our Heavenly Father. We have a role to play in the exceeding happening in our life. The exceeding of God always involves this, obedience. Obedience. Just be obedient to what God is asking us to do. Just be obedient to the word of God. Like I got three kids and my three kids are knuckleheads sometimes. Come on, somebody. They're bred to be that way. They're half Cochran and they're half Langston. And y'all blame it all on the Cochran, but there's some of that Langston y'all ain't never seen up here before. They're double bred, man. And here's what I want from my kids. When we were raising our kids, Jennifer and I used to talk about it all the time. We don't expect perfection out of our kids. And how many of you know preacher's kids always get that extra pressure put on them because they're preacher's kids? We didn't want our kids to be perfect. We didn't want our kids to just live in a glass house. But we wanted them to be this, simply obedient to what we asked them to do. Immediately obedient. That was the thing that we used to say. How many of you know when you try to get your children to be obedient, they will always argue with you for a moment if you let them. And they'll always tell you why they shouldn't be obedient and why they can't do what you're asking them to do. Our deal was this, be immediately obedient. And I'm just telling you, you're going to have to learn and you're going to have to understand, and so am I. If we want to see the exceeding move of God in our life, that you and I are going to have to quit arguing with our Heavenly Father. We're going to have to quit making excuses. And when he asks us to do something, we got to be obedient to him and to the word of God. We got to be obedient. And you know what else the exceeding always requires? Sacrifice. 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 You got to give yourself up. You got to sacrifice your will. You got to sacrifice your way. Sometimes you got to sacrifice your dreams. The exceeding of God always requires obedience and sacrifice. And then here's what I want you to see, that the exceeding of God is a journey and it's a process. So many of us, we come to God. It's a process. So many of us, we come to God. We're broke, busted, and disgusted, and we throw up some prayers, and we finally show up at church, and we call the preacher, and we get a meeting with him. Our life is an absolute wreck. We've not been obedient. We've not sacrificed anything. We've gotten ourselves in a wreck, and so we come back to the church, and we come back to the Lord, and all of a sudden, God sometimes will answer our prayers. Anybody know what I'm talking about? But here's the thing. And then you know what we do then? We go back and be disobedient, and we go back and we have no more sacrifice. And then about 6 or 8 months, we come back to church and show back up and get a meeting with a preacher, and the preacher prays for us, and God bails us out. At what point do we quit playing some up and down game? At what point do we go, God has been exceedingly good in my life, and no longer am I going to go back down, but I'm going to embrace this journey and this process and trust God to take me higher than he's ever taken me. It's a process. We're going to look at the life of Elisha. I think we're going to learn from him. I think his life is a big picture of what exceeding really, really looks like. So let's pray, and then we'll read scripture and get started. If you are a timekeeper, start now. Father, we love you. Holy Spirit, have your way in this place. Holy Spirit, be present. Holy Spirit, you are the only hope we have in this place today. Lord, I ask for your anointing to be upon me to preach your word. Not only do I ask for the anointing to be upon me to preach your word, I pray your anointing would be on the hearts and the ears of everyone that hears this message today. Speak to us and challenge us. Let us learn and grow. In Jesus' name we pray. And all of God's people said, amen. 1 Kings chapter 19. 1 Kings chapter 19. Starting in verse number 19. So Elijah went and found Elisha, son of Shaphat. He was plowing in a field. There were 12 teams of oxen in the field, and Elisha was plowing with the 12th team. Elijah went over to him, threw his cloak across his shoulders, and then he walked away. Verse 20, immediately Elisha left the oxen standing there, ran after Elijah and said to him, "First, let me go kiss my father and mother goodbye, and then I will go with you." Elijah replied, "Go on back, but think about what I've done to you." So Elisha returned to his oxen, and he slaughtered them. Then he used the wood from the plow to build a fire to roast their flesh. He passed around the meat to all the townspeople, and they all ate. Then he went with Elijah as his assistant. Let me tell you what's going on, Elijah. Elijah is the old man. Elijah is the old prophet. He is a legend in the nation. He has prayed and prayers have been answered. He has performed many miracles, signs, and wonders. Elijah is the old prophet. Everybody in that part of the world knew him. He wore this cloak around him. He smelled of the anointing oil. He was a man of God, and everyone looked up to him. One day, Elisha is plowing in the field, the young man is plowing in the field, and we see this encounter between the old and the young, between this generation and between this generation. I want to tell you something right quick. The best way for the exceeding of God to show up in our life is to be passed from the previous generation. The best way. It's not the only way, but it's the best way. And can I just remind you of something right now? Can I remind you that there was a previous generation in the United States of America who believed in God, who believed we were one nation under God, who believed we were founded on Christian principles, and because that generation stood for freedom of religion, you and I get to enjoy the benefits and the fruits of that this day. Never forget how blessed we are because of that previous generation. I just want to challenge you, parents and grandparents today, the best way to bless your kids is to not teach them how to be the best cowboy and not teach them how to be the best bread maker at home and not to teach them to make the most money. The best way that we can bless our children and our grandchildren is pass on to them a good godly heritage founded on the word of God and teaching them to walk out having faith in God. It's the greatest blessing ever. And in this passage, you see the old generation going down and transferring it to the younger generation. Can I just say this to you? Some of you in here today, some of you young people especially, you're like, "My mom and dad are just too strict on me. My mom and dad won't let me do what everybody else does. And my mom and dad made me come to church this morning and I didn't want to come to church." Can I just tell you, be thankful for a godly heritage that you have. Be thankful that your parents don't let you run wild. Be thankful that your parents don't let you have free reign on the iPad or the iPhone, watching what you do and going where you go. Be thankful for the godly heritage that we have. Oh, yeah, because all of that leads to this, the old man passing something on to the young man. One generation passing to the next generation. Can I say something to you right quick? Can I be real with y'all at 11 o'clock? Can I be real with y'all? Can I really, really be real with y'all? Elijah's time has expired. The old man's done. The old man's up. Doesn't matter everything that he's done in his life. His life is about to be over. And can I say this to you in love? That will someday happen to you and I. Our time will expire. Our days are numbered. And what matters the most when we expire is not what we leave behind, but who we leave behind. Elijah, his time is up. Walks over, Elisha's plowing, the young man's plowing, and he sees the man of God coming with this cloak on. He sees the man of God, this legend, and there's this moment when the garment goes over him, it catches him and he stops. And you know what he did right then? He had an awareness of there was something better. He had an awareness. I want you to see this. Awareness. Elisha has, he goes, I'm aware something is better than plowing with oxen. Something is bigger in my life than just making money. Something is bigger in my life than just working 40, 50 hours a week, paycheck to paycheck. Surely there's a God. There's a little bit of awareness. Elisha is aware of the calling that's on Elijah's life. Many of you are here because you, God has gotten your attention somehow. And then I want you to see that Elisha, he turns his attention and awareness to Elijah. And then next thing, he's interested a little bit. See, we all have this awareness that God is good. We all have this awareness and we're paying attention to God just a little bit. And then we start to get interested just a little bit. Like maybe something is good. Like I'm interested. Like I see you, Reggie, and I see the change in your life. And man, that makes me interested. I see you, Tom, Daddy, and I'm interested because I see God, Taylor and Brandon. I see you and what God's doing in your family. And now I'm not just aware there's a big God. Now I'm interested in what is God doing in the world that we live in. Starts with awareness and then it goes down to interest. And then we have this desire. Okay, I you got my attention, God. I'm a little bit interested, and now I desire something different. I desire something different. I desire something bigger. And then here's the last one, and here's the tricky one. Desire turns to action. Desire turns to action. It's when I go, okay, wow, I got this awareness. God's got my attention. Oh, wow, I'm interested. Now I have a desire, but not just set on that desire and know it's out there. Take a step and move and follow after where God is calling you to be. I'm going to be honest with y'all. I told you I was going to be real with you. After preaching for 25 years, I've seen tons of people become aware of God and God got their attention. I've even seen them interested a little bit and then soon have a desire. You know what my observation is? About 80% of us are stuck in the top three levels. That's why the funnel gets smaller. Because the smaller it gets, the less people that go through the funnel and the less action there is. And I'm going to tell you something. You know what? I can prove that to you through scripture. Because Jesus made this statement when he was living on this earth. And he said this, the harvest is great, but the laborers are few. And I'm just challenging you. You got to see Elisha took some action. He didn't just have this moment. He took some action. I love that Elisha is found not in a classroom. He's not an educated guy. He's not in the seminary wanting to be some kind of preacher. He's a common dude like you and me, found in a field, found with a plow in his hand. Elisha was a worker. Elisha was a worker. Can I tell you what we need in the kingdom of God? Some workers and less watchers. Come on, somebody. We need more worshipers and less watchers of worshipers. We need some workers in the kingdom of God. We need some workers that will work not just at church, but will work on their home, will work in their marriage, will work raising their children, will work building their own faith. We need more people to put some more action and say, I'm a worker in the kingdom of God. And I say that out of love, because here's the deal. This is a hard truth. Elisha was a worker. He was a doer. And can I say this to you? It's easier to educate a doer than it is to activate a thinker. And I'm going to say that again, and I'm going to say that in love. It's easier to educate a doer than it is to activate a thinker. And I'm just going to tell you, honestly, a lot of us in here, we're thinkers, and we're overthinkers. And I see everybody giving elbows and looking at their neighbor right there. We think about it. We think about it. We think about what God has done. We think about how we're interested. We think about this desire. And I'm just telling you, if you're a thinker, the enemy will keep you saved, and the enemy will keep you coming to church, and the enemy will keep you thinking. But until you step up and take one step and put some action behind what you say you believe, you will miss the exceeding move of God. Because Elisha is a doer. Elisha, and I really believe with all of my heart, that something inside of Elijah caught Elisha's attention, and he was hungry for more. I believe that same thing is happening in our world these days. I believe people in America are hungry for more. We're tired of political unrest. We're tired of fussing over conservatives and liberals. We're tired of fussing over Baptists or Methodists. We are tired of what I think the young people in this world are tired of what the world is trying to offer them and trying to get them to take a hold of. I believe they're tired of being empty. I believe they're looking for something real. I believe that you and I, as Christ followers, have got to step up and live a life of authenticity that will show others there is a greater life out there. We have this desire. I think everybody has a desire for more. Psalm 37:4. Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Desires. Desires of your heart. Here's the desires of your heart, Philippians 2:13. For God is working in you, Joe. For God is working in you, Doc. For God is working in you. You got to believe that. For God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. The desires of our heart should be to please our Heavenly Father. And if the desires of our heart are to please our Heavenly Father, then he will give us the power inside of us to do what he's asking us to do. God puts these desires in us, but we got to respond. Because you know what desire does? Desire drives our behavior. Desire, what we desire, we will acquire. If we desire it enough, come on, y'all know what I'm talking about. If we desire some more cows, by golly, we'll go get some more cows. If we desire some more money, we'll give everything we got to get some more money. What we desire, we will acquire. And if we desire to receive this transfer of the anointing, and if we desire to live the exceeding blessing life of God, if we desire it, then we got to step out and go and acquire it. We got to take action. So what did Elisha do? What kind of actions did Elisha take? He's had this encounter. Here's what he does. He slaughters the oxen that he was plowing with. He tears the plow up that's made of wood. He builds a big fire, and he goes back, and he kisses his mother and dad goodbye. First time I ever read that, I was like, why did he have to kill the oxen? Why did he have to burn up the plow? Couldn't the oxen and the plow be used in the family farming? Here's why I believe that he killed the oxen and burned the plow, because he was saying to God, I am totally committed into following you. I'm going to burn up every opportunity I have to decide to go back to my old life. It's a struggle. It's a struggle. It's a struggle. I'll go back to my old life. The first time we don't get our prayers answered, the first time somebody offends us, the first time this sickness hits our family, we all have this desire to just give up on God and go back to our old life. And Elisha said, I know this is going to be tough, but it's going to be good. And so I'm burning it up, and I'm kissing that life goodbye. We all have that challenge, whether we want to admit it or not. If you read the New Testament, you'll see there's another guy, a really prominent figure in the New Testament. He actually walked on water, and he preached the Pentecostal message on the day of Pentecost. His name is Peter. Watch what Peter does. Peter's walked on water. Peter walked with Jesus 3 years. And the moment Jesus is crucified and died on the cross, what does Peter do? John 21:3. Simon Peter said, I'm going fishing. Now, that may not seem like much, but Jesus has already called him away from the fishing life. Jesus already started some 3 years earlier and said, come on, follow me. No longer are you going to catch fish. Now you're going to catch men. He called him away from that life. But Simon Peter said, I'm going to go back to that life. And everybody with him said, well, guess what? We'll come too. So they went out in the boat and they caught nothing all night. You know what the danger is in going back to our old life? That the people that we have influence over, they'll go back with us. Peter went back and the other guy said, we'll go back with you. Can I tell you, here's the result. You know what the result is of going back? Can I just say, the devil makes our old life look much better than it ever was to begin with anyway. And I would say this to you, if your old life was so good and so much fun, why in the heck did you come over here on this side seeking for something better in the first place? When you go back, what happened to these guys? What happened to Peter and the disciples? They went back. They caught nothing, zero. They had unsuccessful lives trying to do what they used to do. You know what that's like? For those of you that are maybe here and you're struggling, thinking, I'm going to go back and try this, and I'm going to go back and try that, and I'm going to go back and do this. Listen, I know this is a little weird, but you got to stick with me in the Word of God. Proverbs 26:11. As a dog returns to his own vomit, so is a fool who repeats his foolishness. How many of you have dogs? How many of you have seen a dog vomit? Pause and look at what he just produced and then go right back to it and start licking it up. My prayer is that vision is embedded in your mind when you decide, I'm going to go back and drink a little bit more whiskey. I'm going to go back and get back on the drugs. I'm going to go back to my old girlfriend. When you decide to go back to that whole old life, I pray you just start doing this. Because if we want the exceeding of God, look at me, look. There's some things that we have to burn up in our past, and there's some things we have to say goodbye to. It's just the cold, hard truth. When we do that, we show God we are totally committed. Now, here's Elisha. He burns it up, and he's ready to go. And here's the question for you thinkers. Do you think Elisha knew and totally understood what he was saying yes to? No way. He didn't understand. He didn't understand, but you know what? He said yes anyway. He said yes anyway. We got to stop. That's what's called faith. You and I got to stop when we don't understand, and stop when we can't overthink, and stop when we can't figure it out, and stop when God doesn't give us all the directions for the next 10 years. We are walking by faith. Proverbs 3:5 says this, trust in the Lord with all of your heart and don't depend on your own understanding. You're never going to understand it, nor am I. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says this, for we walk by faith and not by sight. Just saying yes, because we're starting out on this exceeding journey. This journey started. It all started. I want you to see this. It all started in a quiet place. It all started in a field for Elisha. Maybe for you, it started in a church service, in the middle of worship, in the middle of preaching. Maybe it started in your home when you were reading the Word of God, or when you were praying. Maybe it was with a conversation that you had with a friend. Maybe it was behind a plow. Maybe it was on a horse, but it all started at this one moment. But here's what I want you to see. It doesn't stop in that moment. It doesn't stop in the field. It keeps going. And let me say this before we close. How many of you want the next generation to walk in the exceeding blessings of God? My kids, I don't care what kind of preacher you think I am. It doesn't matter how many people come to church. It doesn't matter to me how many church campuses that we've planted. It doesn't matter to me those kind of things. What matters the most to me is that my three kids see me, and they see me not as perfect, but they see me being totally committed to the God that saved my life. I want them to see me, that they see me walking in the anointing, because they know that some of the things that I say and some of the ways that I preach
are not my own wisdom or my own knowledge. I want them to see that I am washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. I want them to actually be able to see the anointing and the power of the Holy Spirit in my life. And so that when they get older in life, they go, I'm going to walk like Daddy walked. He transferred that anointing to me. I want to lay out a platform where my children can rise up to the next level. That's what matters. That's what matters the very most. We can't push rules on those kids. We can't push religion on them. They want to see something that's real. Our world wants to see something that is real. Elisha saw Elijah. And he said, the life that Elijah lives of following God wholeheartedly is something worth living for. And he burned it all up and he followed him. The next generation doesn't need perfection. They need authenticity from you and I. The next generation, you know what they need? Can I just say this to y'all? We live in such a selfish world. Everything's about me. Everything's about what makes me comfortable. Everything's about what makes me feel good. It's time that you and I go, you know what? My time is going to expire sooner or later. And before my time expires, the younger generation needs me to put a hand on their back and say, I believe in you. They need to see us put a hand on their back, speak life over them and transfer them. There needs to be a transfer from my generation to the next generation, a transfer of faith, a transfer of passion, a transfer of anointing. And all of that starts with you and I. Starts here today. Conrad Worship Team, would you come? Help me close this thing down, please. So here it is today. I hope God's got your attention. I hope God's done something to make you aware that God's big and God's got plans for you. And if you see, if you're aware of what God has done, certainly it will interest you. And I hope and I pray you have this fire and this desire inside of you to do something different than you've always done. And my prayer is that that desire would push you to action, to just say yes to God. Because here's the deal. No matter if you've never been saved or if you've been saved 60 years, God is still asking us to say yes one more time and take one more step. He's still asking us to burn some things up in our past. Some of you, I'm going to be really, really honest with you, your past is what defines you. Because all you can talk about is what went wrong and about that pain and about that hurt and about that divorce and about that mistake you made. You need to know that the past cannot be changed, but the future can be changed. And I love you, but I'm telling you, you got to stop. God's got our attention. The anointing is here, and God's going, come go on this exceeding life. Will you burn it up? And I understand that's easier said than done. Stop. God, remember the scripture? God is working in you to give you the desire to honor him, and he'll give you the power to walk it out. If you desire to honor God, you can't be looking back. And God will give you the power to forget about that. Will you move past interest into action? Will you burn what needs to be burned? Will you say yes? Will you say yes? Because if God is a very present God and God is a very active God and God is always moving and God never leaves us and God never forsakes us, and if God has gone before us and he's prepared a way, if God is on the throne and God is inside of us today, no matter where, he's asking us to say yes right now. What is God asking you to say yes to? What is God asking you to say yes to? He's asking us, do you understand how powerful a simple yes is to God? I'm not arguing. I'm not saying, yes, God, I don't understand. God, this is not what I want to do. God, this is not the way I thought it would go. But yes, God, you've never failed me. You've never let me down. God, I'm struggling right now. But yes. When you say yes to God, just take one step. Just take one step. That's all you got to do. And one step will activate the supernatural power of God. And you being obedient in the supernatural power of God working together will cause the exceedingly abundantly above and beyond stuff to begin to happen in our lives. Will you say yes, yes, yes? Just say yes to whatever God is asking you right now, take one step. Just begin to move, because if you do, and if I do, it will begin our exceeding journey. We'll talk next week. We'll talk for the next 6 weeks about how God just keeps elevating Elisha and how he'll do the same for you. Here's what God will do. 1 Corinthians 2:9. That is what the scripture means when it says, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those that love him. Would you stand on your feet and bow your heads? Father, we love you and we thank you for today, and we thank you for all our many blessings. We do have an attitude of gratitude for where you've brought us from. We do have a sense of thankfulness for what you've brought us out of. But God, we just know you're a very present help in time of need. And we just know, God, that the future is greater. We just know that the glory of the latter house will be greater than the glory of the former house. We know, God, you're going to pour out the rains, the former and the latter rains together. We know, God, you want to move exceedingly in our lives. So I pray, God, Holy Spirit, challenge us today. You said you wanted some workers and some doers, Jesus. Let us be them. Let us be the ones that are working and willing and doing and going. Let us simply say yes. And when we do, God, we pray for a fresh, fresh fire, a fresh anointing of your Holy Spirit. Thank you for the opportunities and the privileges you've given us. Move on our hearts and minds as we close in worship today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.
Come and consume me. My heart is ready. God, if I burn, I'll burn for you. No hesitation, without reservation. God, if I burn, I'll burn for you. Give me a fresh, fresh fire. Give me a fresh, fresh fire. I want what you desire. I'm gonna burn for you. Give me a fresh, fresh fire. Give me a fresh, fresh fire. I want what you desire. I'm gonna burn for you. Oh, I wanna burn for you, God. So light a match and let it go. Set a blaze uncontrolled. I want that fire. I want that fire. So light a match and let it go. Set a blaze uncontrolled. I want that fire. I want that fire. So light a match and let it go. Set a blaze uncontrolled. I want that fire.
Come on, let that be your heart today.
So light a match and let it go. Set a blaze uncontrolled. I want that fire.
Every
just want to sing this. And just to make a declaration today for anybody in here who's on the fence about following Jesus, anybody who's on the fence about committing their life to a life that pleases and honors the Father. We're going to just sing this. I have decided to follow Jesus. I will follow Jesus anywhere He leads us. That's where we will go. I have decided I will follow Jesus anywhere He leads us. That's where we will go. I have decided I will follow Jesus anywhere He leads us. That's where we will go. I have decided I will follow Jesus anywhere He leads us. That's where, come on, just lift that up. I have decided I will follow Jesus anywhere He leads us. That's where we will go. Declare, I have decided I will follow Jesus anywhere He leads us. Oh, that's where we go. Come on, let's go, let's follow.
Hey, y'all sit down real quick. Y'all sounded good right there at the end. I would have kept going, just saying. Hey, as the ushers come down, we'll do our offering real quick and we'll bless it. Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you so much for that message. Thank you so much for our worship team. Thank you, God, for the rain and the dry place to come and learn and grow. And I just pray, Lord, that right now you would bless this offering and that you would bless the hands that give it. In Jesus' name I pray. And everybody said, we'll be right back. real quick, you visitors, if you didn't get a card at the door, Stephen has kept us up to date with all those things on the back of the chair. You can just touch your phone to it. If you do that, it'll come up. You can click on visitor. You can fill out the stuff, and we'd just like to connect with you, send you something, and we're glad that you're here. So y'all put your hands together for all of our visitors. And also, so this Wednesday night on the 15th, we're going to have fellowship night. We're going to hang out. We're going to have fun. Y'all can, I think, maybe do some s'mores and play some pickleball, play football, play all the things out there on the turf. Bring your kids, bring your families, and heck, bring your old grandparents too. Everybody can come hang out. And then before you leave, stop by the merch booth. Got some new merch, and also get your pictures of your beautiful families from last weekend, Easter weekend. Pick up your pictures. Don't forget them. We always have like 50 pictures left over the whole year, and I'm like, man, these people don't want their pictures. So get your pictures. Other than that, kids, y'all want some Bethel cigarettes? Keep the fire going. Don't let it die out. It's already started, so keep it flamed and keep it going. And since he's so handy right here, this is Teach, everybody, our new guitar player. Put your hands together for our new guitar player. He's going to pray us out.
Thank you, God, for a great day. And thank you for being with us here. And Lord God, we ask that you would bless us this week and let us be the kind of people who are into the action and not just thinking about stuff. And just bless us and give us a great week and let us be living for you. Amen.
You can't.